just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus.
Jesus in the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus.
I speak Jesus.
Got a scripture that if I could find it, came in my mind. Keep playing. Came in my mind. It's in Psalms. This is Psalm 30. Starting at... It's a short psalm. I'll read the whole thing real quick. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. And you have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Man, that'll preach. Now my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made my supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And that psalm, I got goosebumps reading that psalm. I thought about the mothers that it's been, I don't know any mother that's had an easy road. if it up to men to give birth, the population would be zero. So just that alone. But this Mother's Day, it could be bittersweet for some in here and some online. Children could be estranged. We prayed, and men prayed, and Brother Eddie, we prayed with us, and men, just about you have unsafe kids. That's got a weigh on your heart. Guilt. I every Father's Day, I pray about this too. Guilt and regret. You know, nobody's perfect, and we may think our moms walk on water, but they say no, we make mistakes too. But guilt can weigh on people, or moms who lost their moms. Their moms are not here right now. That could be very painful. That could be a painful time. Or daughters, this is rare, but it happens. Daughters that were abandoned by their moms. So this is a glorious day to celebrate all the wonderful things that moms do, but this could also be a bittersweet time. It could be a lot of painful memories can be brought up. So I want to pray over that. But as far as anyone suffering from guilt, just real quick, me and my wife, we read the Bible with our daughter every night. And I have fun because I ham it up, you know, all the Bible stories. When that makes it fun when you do different voices and act it out and whatnot. So we're at the end of Joseph's life, but going through the story of Joseph and how he looked at his brothers and said, y'all, that's Georgia, you know, the Bible's written in Georgia. Y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So even the mistakes that we as parents made, and mom, you may have felt you made, God can even use that for his glory and for that child's good. And you can't wallow in guilt. Guilt brings paralysis. It cuts you off from God and cuts you off from people. If you repented, let it go. But let's pray. Father God, hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, husbands, or daughters, if you could lay your granddaughters, just put your hands on the mom next to you, or grandmom next to you. Just put your hands on them while we pray. Father God, we thank you for every mom and grandmom and great-grandmom. Some could even add a couple of greats in there. We thank you so much for each and every one of them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Eve, the mother of all living, Lord. There are a bunch of Eves here and a bunch of Eves online, Lord, that you've chosen before the foundation of the world to have the sons and daughters that are with us now in different parts of the country, even some of different parts of the world, Lord, represented here. We ask you, Father, that you would bring a fresh revelation of yourself to them, because that matters more than anything else, that they would see you as their comforter, the healer and provider, that you will take care of their adult children. You ultimately will take care of the grandchildren. And anyone suffering from guilt, from mistakes made in the past, that they will receive the mercy that you so richly and abundantly supply. They will receive from you also direction and wisdom when to speak, when to not speak, when to give. There's times to nurture and there's times to withhold. They will have that wisdom to know the difference. Any mother here is taking care of an older parent. Grant them stamina and strength and endurance and patience to do it all, Lord God. And supply every need according to your riches and glory. We thank you for every mother here and grandmom here. And those online, we thank you so much, Lord, for the gifts you've given them. Thank you, Lord. We receive your love and your mercy covering all over them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let
may my cry come before you, Lord. May my prayers reach unto the sky. May my lips overflow with praise. May my tongue sing of your word. May my cry come before you, Lord. May my prayers reach unto the sky. May my lips overflow with praise. May my tongue sing of your word.
Thou the spring of all my God saves.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come to gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. Our God saves. The joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. And the world will see that. And the world will see that. Our God says,
I got my notes here. There's a few other things I wanted to say that's in, not in my notes, because I feel the Holy Spirit is putting it on my heart. On my heart. And I didn't want to, I was not going to wear this back brace because I didn't want to be seen on live stream with the back brace. I got it because I was plowing up the ground to get prepared for planting and stuff. And the rocks got better. But in the very same way and stuff, a lot of us, our hearts have rocks and roots. And so let us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit use his word to plow through our heart. And unlike me, we're having to wear in the back brace. The Holy Spirit never gives up. He just keeps on going and going and going. And that's the faith that we must have. And in Luke chapter 22, just the title of the message is Jesus Chose Passover. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus and his disciples are preparing for Passover. And I'm going to stop there because they're in Jerusalem and it's crazy busy. And Jesus tells them to go to this man and up a room, and they're going to have Passover up there. And where our model says that where God leads, he provides. And that's exactly what Jesus did, because when they went up to that upper room, it was all ready and prepared. And one thing that we have to always remember, that Jesus knows everything about everything about everything. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. And in the Gospel of John, what do you see? That we see that Jesus is washing people's feet, his disciples' feet. How often do we need to be washing people's feet? Even though they may do us wrong or whatever else, we need to be followers and learn after Jesus' example and do what he tells us to do. Another good thing, the thing that I read in chapter 22, is Jesus said himself that he desired to have this Passover with his disciples. The word desired is a little bit deeper than that. It means that he had a fervent, burning desire to spend this time of fellowship with disciples over fellowship. And we need to learn from that too. We should be coming to a fellowship about this church and fellowship in a fervent, burning way, because we want to be with God and his word here. So in Luke chapter 22, Jesus and the disciples are preparing for Passover. Now, Passover is one of the seven biblical feasts that we find in Leviticus chapter 23. These feasts are not Jewish feasts, but as Leviticus 23 says, they are the feasts of the Lord. God created and appointed these feasts on certain days, but why did Jesus choose Passover for what us Gentiles call Holy Communion? Passover for the Jews is a reminder on how God had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt by sacrificing the lamb and smearing the lamb's blood on the top side of the doorframe of their homes, so that the judgment of death would pass over them because of the blood. In very much the same way, we were in bondage to sin and death. Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, in John 1:29, and as that lamb he was sacrificed on the altar of the cross, shedding his blood for us to break the bondage of sin and death, giving us a promise that if we truly confess our sins and repent, we will be freed from the law of sin and death and given eternal life in his kingdom. When we accept Christ, we accept the loving gift of a second chance. Because of his death on the cross, we have a clean slate. And so I pray that there are some people that have an intellectual salvation and not a heart salvation. So as we prepare ourselves before we take elements, I need to give you a warning that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 11:27 and 32. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, if you have examined yourselves, you may now come forward to eat the get the elements. I will be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23, going to verse 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, it's got super glue on here. Which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death. And this is the promise, till he comes. All right. Give me a chance to get back here.
Just to piggyback on what Norm was saying, Jesus said that life is in the blood, and without the blood, there's no life. So if we don't have the blood, that we'd just be a lump of flesh. And it's ironic that we have a heart that is a pump that pumps the blood throughout the body. If we can all stand, our scripture reading today is going to become from 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he would revel not to revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. We can dismiss our children now.
Good morning, everyone. Get everything set up here. Here we go. It's good to see everyone on this Mother's Day, and to all the mothers, thank you for all you have done. As I look back, Eve being the first mother, what a blessing. And I think of Rahab, Naomi, Samson's mother. And you come on through history, right on down to the woman at the well, who was one of the first evangelists, who went and spread the word, come and see. She didn't have all the theology, but she knew one thing. She had been in touch with Jesus, and she wanted everyone, don't believe what I'm saying, come and see for yourself. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, you know, that the Bereans were more of noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the word with all gladness, but went home and searched the scriptures daily to sift those things that Paul said were true or not. And that's my escape clause, if you will. That's where Luke tells you in the book of Acts, don't believe a word I say, but to go home pull out your scripture and see for yourselves. Because one thing I've learned, we're all going to stand before him one day. And he's not going to ask you what the preacher say. What did you believe and why did you believe it? Because, well, Pastor so-and-so said it and it had to be true because it sounded good. But it's going to be you and him. No one else. You and him. So when that day comes, whether it's today, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or 5 minutes from now, I don't know. When I stand before him, I want to have known I've done everything that I was able to do to find truth, to seek it out, to seek him, to walk with him and have fellowship with him. Now, I know that's a large statement. You claiming to have fellowship with the creator of the universe, sustainer of everything, creator of all things, knower of all things, Father God himself? Yes. Because he invited me, and he made it possible for me to do it. Because on my own, I wouldn't even be able to speak that holy name. If I were to walk up without the blood of Jesus covering me to the Holy of Holies, I'd be struck down immediately, and so would everyone else. But by his provision are we able to walk into his presence and have fellowship with God Almighty. You think on that for a while? If that don't get you on your face, I don't know exactly what will. But I want to open up in prayer before we go any further and ask God's blessings upon us. His word already has the blessing, that I may get out of the way and allow him to speak through me. Father, we come into your presence, Lord, in one mind and one accord, Lord. Help us now, Lord, to understand your scripture. Speak, Holy Spirit, through me to teach, Father, your word, not mine, Lord. Let me get out of the way, put my thoughts aside, and let the Holy Spirit speak afresh to the hearts and lives of those, Lord, online, those here presently, and those that were here later watching the service on YouTube or wherever, Lord. I'm thankful for that, Lord, for the technology that you have given us to do things like that. Now, Lord, take over. Keep us focused. Any distraction, Lord, push it out of the way. Let your word come forth, Father, in Jesus' holy name. We pray, amen and amen. Last time I was up here, it's been a few months back, I kind of want to start a series called Christ's Final Week. Part one, I named it God's Love for His Own, and I want to make this God's Love for His Own part two. We basically just had an introduction last time we was here on this, but you always have a special love for your own, for your children, for your husband, your wife, your mother, your father. There's always that closeness, that specialness that you have with no one else. And I look at it, and I believe that Jesus has that towards us. He has many children. He has no grandchildren. He only has children. Which means you can't get in the kingdom because mom and dad did. You got to come for yourself. He knows each one of us individually. And something he gave me years ago that really, I still to this point, just blows me away. That there is a place in the heart of God, not the blood, he don't have a physical heart, but in his innermost being of who God is, that is only for me, that you can't touch. He has it only for me, and he has a place only for you that no one else can share in, only you can, because each one of us are different. We look different, we talk different, we're different colors, we're different cultures, we like different things. And God has a lot of children, but there's a special place in the heart of God for you and you alone that no one else can have. Just like if you have multiple children, you know, you could sit and say, you know, I've got 9 grandchildren, one on the way, number 10. that I'm so thankful for. But I could sit here and tell you why I love each one the most, you know, differently. I love them all equal in a lot of ways, but all of them have different places. And I'm thankful two of them are here this morning, Miss Julia and Grayson, who's in the back, two of my grandchildren and my youngest son, David. Always thankful to have my family here. But like I say, each one of them have a special place in my heart that no one else has. And I'm always just, you see, you get my grandchildren around, you see me light up like a Christmas tree almost. Like, wow, it's just a blessing. But anyway, the love that God has for his own. Our scripture is going to be from John. I want to read a couple of the scriptures from John before I get started. Like, who is Jesus? In John 1:1-5, and I didn't give these scriptures to Norman, and I apologize, they may or may not be on the screen. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So John starts out verse 1 explaining just who Jesus Christ is. He makes no bones about it. And a lot of people I've heard it said, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Apparently, had never read the Gospel of John or most any of the scriptures. He was the God-man. When Satan first come to tempt Eve in the garden, he was faced with mankind. When he come to the point of tempting Christ, he was faced with the God-man. And like I've said many times, Jesus looked at him and said, I don't have to be God to overcome you or defeat you. All I've got to be is a man full of the Holy Spirit, in which he spoke back to him with the Word of God each time. So if Jesus did that, so should we. Now, I've been in a lot of different realms, you know, different ways of dealing with things, and I won't get into all that, but what I've learned, spiritual warfare is done with the power of the Word. With the power of the Word. It is written. And I believe it. And I stand on it. And God, if you don't move this mountain, give me the ability to climb over it or go through it. Because not every obstacle that we face in our lives is from the enemy. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Because we're all looking, it seems like, at time for the escape hatch. You know, because we've said on that scripture that he would not allow us to be tempted more than we could bear. But if you read that a little closer, what the language bears out, he'll give us strength that we may be able to bear up under it and overcome it. Because sometimes God puts you in a place that may not be comfortable, you may not like, but he's bringing you and teaching you and growing you through something. And sometimes it's because of your own disobedience. You do the wrong thing, there's consequence, you're going to have to deal with that. But there's times that God says, okay, time to grow. So hang on. Whenever I get faced with one of those, most times I say, okay, Lord, first I search my heart, Lord, have I stumbled and done or got caught up in something I shouldn't? I've been there before. To where I'm like, Lord, and I repent of it if God brings it to my memory or my front and center, I repent of it. But there's other times I say, okay, Lord, there's nothing here, then this must be a learning experience. For those who've been in the military, you went through basic training. It wasn't easy, but it was a learning experience. You've been through other things, but it was a learning experience. It wasn't easy, but it grew you into the soldier that your commanding officer wanted you to be. We are soldiers of Christ. We're not to get involved with civilian affairs.
And we, in this day and time, everyone seems to be so passionate about the wrong things. Sometimes we get caught up in politics, we get caught up in jobs, we get caught up in so many things. Do you realize those things in 20 years are not going to matter? 100 years from now, things you possess will be gone. You'll be gone. But where are you going to be? We are eternal beings. What was Jesus' first reason for coming to earth the first time? He came to bear up and pay the price for our sin. And so he did. All of heaven and earth in a time and eternity was looking to this point in time. All the souls that had passed on, that went into Abraham's bosom, were waiting for the Redeemer to come and overcome. All of the ones who wound up on the other side, the fallen spirits, the fallen angels, they were in hope that their leader, Satan, would somehow prevail. But when Jesus died, and it said he descended, he went to proclaim, not to evangelize, but to proclaim his victory and get the keys of hell and death from Satan himself and proclaim he has won. And so he did. But here we come to the point to where Jesus is final week. Now, us as fathers, if we knew we were going to leave our children for an extended period of time, what would we say to them? What would be our final words? I'm sure it wouldn't be talking about the latest trend or the latest thing going on in the world. It'd be something important we needed to hear and understand. And here is Jesus, okay? He's performed miracles. He's raised the dead. He's opened the eyes of the blind. He's healed lepers. He's done all these things, just as the scripture said he would. Many refused to believe in him. Many gladly accepted him. So, and the ones who refused, they had to see it. They had to know it. But they just didn't want to let go of their position. Pride got in the way. But here is Jesus the night before his crucifixion, speaking with his disciples. And we pick up in verse 31 of the Gospel of John, chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, verse 31. So Jesus said, so when he was gone out, speaking of Judas, where he turned to Judas and said, that which you do, do quickly. He wanted his own to be there and no one else. His disciples were there. Said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I have said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. Now, I say unto you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved, that you also may love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another. So Jesus is just laying it out here for them. He didn't say that men will know you by your doctrine, by what church you attend, by what kind of clothes you wear, but they will know you by your love for one another. Now he says,
love one another as I have loved you. Now, first of all, that is an impossibility in our way of doing things. There's no way that I can love the way Jesus loved. But that doesn't lower the standard. When he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that's an impossibility for us to do, but it does not lower the standard. We're to strive to be there. So, in our daily walk. So, it's an area a lot of times we fail in. We see someone in need, especially a brother or a sister. Oh, Lord, I pray God meet their need. And James said, you know, if you just say, be warmed and be filled, and do not provide the things that are needful, what good have you done? Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, sometimes we need to pray it through. Because like I said, God may have someone somewhere in a specific place, breaking them down, breaking off all the things that don't need to be there. And if you run in and want to bless that person, you may hinder God's work. But I'd much rather err on that side than to withhold. Because there's been a situations I wanted to help, thought the Spirit of God said, no, I got this. Just leave it alone. And that's hard for us because we have compassion, especially when you see someone in need or suffering. Immediately you want to run and help out. Scripturally on that, the prodigal son. If the father had sent provision to him, he would have stayed in his place much longer. The father had provision to send to him to help him, but he chose not to do it because he knew if he did, it would prolong him staying in the wrong place. But when God broke him down, all his resources were gone, to where he had nothing. I mean, he had to look up to see the bottom. Now, I've been there a few times. It ain't no fun. Don't ever want to go back. I pray I've learned those lessons. I feel like I have. But trust me, there's been times where I got lost off track where God said, okay, you don't want to listen? I'll put you flat on your back. Now you'll listen. And he did, and I did. And I know, Lord, thank you. That was painful, but we got through it, and here we are. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. So God, we are to love one another. So if we're in Christ, there's been times the Spirit of God has spoke to me. Go to this person and give them that. Do this, do that. One instance, you know, he told me to give this man $10. I said, Lord, I can give you more, but no, $10. Okay. So I did. And it opened so many financial blessings in my life. God didn't want to take my $10. He knew if I gave that, he could open the door for much more to flow in. And from that point on, it seems like things have increased in my life over the last probably 7-8 years. It's like, wow. I mean, it's just unreal. Not because of the $10, but because of the obedience. That's where your blessing lies, your obedience to God's word, to God's spirit when he speaks to you. And there have been times I just don't know about that yet, and I didn't do it. What blessings have I missed? So God raised up someone else to get that blessing because I was unwilling. I'm going to be just as transparent with you as I know how to be. I'm no one special. I have my share of shortcomings, some of which I'm trying to overcome, and they still seem to overcome me at times, but we'll get there. With God's grace, and God's, okay, I saw y'all back there. Yep, he's got them all right. I know I live with him, but that's okay. Oh, we just think how it'd be if I was perfect. Wouldn't be a bit of fun. So anyway, you know, you got to understand. Here's these 11 men with Jesus. They have forsaken everything to follow this man that they believe to be the Messiah, the Christ of Israel. Here's Peter, James, and John had a really good fishing business going on. They were rolling in the dough. They were doing good. And you know, Matthew, before he become from a follower, he was a member of the IRS, if you will. He was a tax collector. And you know, like I say, in those days, you know, they would bid it out. Okay, whoever paid Rome the most money, they would be the tax collector of that area. And Rome would say, okay, this is what we expect out of you to give to Rome. any more they could chisel out of someone was their own. So most of them are rich. It's been said, you know, that Matthew taught Peter to curse. Because every time Peter would come up with a load of fish, he'd look, hey, you owe us $1,000 or whatever for that mountain. They would tax you by how many wheels you had on your wagon. Any reason they'd come up with, they'd say what you got to pay. And there was a Roman soldier behind them. If you didn't pay, you'd pay with your life. So that's the way it was. So here's these men who have forsaken everything, walked away from their livelihood, their home, their family, to follow Jesus. Here we are about 3 years in, maybe a little longer. And they're thinking the kingdom, because they've been taught since childhood that, you know, the Lord is going to come and he's going to usher in a kingdom in Israel where every man can sit on by his tree and from his vine and just be relaxing and no one is going to bother him. That was what they were thinking. That's what they had been taught. So they were thinking, that's the reason I could say when the two wanted to come before him and say, you know, grant us this wish or request that one may sit on your right, one on your left. Because they was thinking that we're going to walk in and Jesus is going to drive out Rome and we're going to bring down the kingdom and we're going to have the keys, letting them jingle as we walk in. We're going to be the men. We're going to be the man. We're going to be beside him and we're going to rule the world. See, that was their way of thinking. And that time is coming, but not here. Not now. Jesus has come to deal with the sin debt. They didn't get this. Now, if you notice, the women did get it. Because, you know, they went, you know, that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. But the disciples, apostles, they didn't grasp it. They couldn't grasp that. Because here's God doing something contrary to the way they think it should be done. Been there before. God, what are you doing? John the Baptist, for example. You know, Jesus' cousin. The greatest man that ever lived, Christ said. Every prophet from the beginning of time, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, so on and so forth, all spoke of his coming. But they never saw it. They only spoke of it. So here we have John the Baptist can look at him and say, here he is. Not that he's coming, here he is. So he's thinking, you know, he preaches out against Herod, gets thrown in prison. You know, it's okay. Jesus is going to come spring me. Then he hears Jesus left town. I felt at times that Jesus has just left town. But it wasn't in God's plan. John the Baptist fulfilled his call. And he was beheaded for the witness of Christ. Now he's in heaven 2,000 years later in perfect peace, perfect joy, this unbelievable things. And so should we be there. But every prophet spoke of that coming time of him. So now, here's Jesus saying to him, I'm fixing to leave you. What? You can imagine the thoughts going through their mind. How would we feel? Okay, I've quit my job. I've left my home. I have nothing to go back to. I'm following you because you're going to take care of it. You're fixing to leave? Wow. Questions begin to arise. But Jesus was preparing him. He goes on down in verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? You know, you can see question marks coming out his head on them cartoons. Do. What? Where are you going? What's going on here? Did I hear you right? I mean, I can only imagine some of the conversations here. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? Oh, wait a minute, I missed part. Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Peter's like, no, I want, Peter's gung-ho, ready to go right now, get it done type fellow. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And I fully believe that Peter was completely 100% sincere in this statement. And how that had to bless Jesus to hear that. And Peter at this point may have bared his neck, say, off with the head, I'll lay down my life for you, or I'll die in battle for you. He very well may have. Now, if someone were to walk in here today and say, deny Christ or I'm going to kill you. In some ways, it'd almost be easy to say, okay, I won't deny Christ. Go ahead and kill me because I know where I'm going. Get me out of here. But what if Jesus were to say, I don't want you to die for me now. I want you to live for me now. I have a mission for you to complete. I have a ministry for you to fulfill. There's work for you to do. I want you to live for me. That's a lot harder than just saying, okay, let's get out of this flesh because it's beginning to hurt. It snaps, it crackles, it pops. Things are having problems. Last night I was having a pain down my leg. Where it's coming from, I don't know. My shoulder's hurting. I'm just like, get out of here. But no, this tent is wearing out. How much longer is it going to last? I don't know. God has healed it. God's kept it going till the day he said it's enough, time to come home. I'll see y'all later. I prefer that being together, but it may not work out that way. Verse 38, Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly. Or in the King James, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, or amen, amen, may it be so. When Jesus wanted to say something, he would say, verily I say unto you. When he really wanted to emphasize something, he would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. It's mostly in the Gospel of John. I think I only find that there. But the New King James translates most assuredly. In other words, no doubt. I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. And how those words must have stinged in Peter's ears. He's thinking, no way. I won't deny you. I will die for you. He's ready. He's ready to go. In his way of thinking, this ain't going to happen. Lord, what? He's already earlier went to the Lord and said, you know, not so, Lord. Those are two words that don't belong together. This should never happen to you. Right after, that's where, like I say, we got to be careful when our strong suit. When we just done something, overcame something, we're like, got our thumbs up under it. We're walking around, yeah, chest bowed out, yeah. Peter said, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, you know, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father. Peter's like, y'all hear what he said? 10 minutes later, get behind me, Satan. So we had to be careful. Because when we just had a great victory, sometimes we feel like, yeah. Let's party, let's relax, let's enjoy this. All of a sudden, Satan comes in, bam, knocks you off your feet. Because we're not aware of what is happening. But when we're in our weak suit, we're looking. When you're in a struggle, a real battle, you're watching for the enemy on every side, so you're ready, you're prepared. So just keep that in mind. And we'll go ahead and move on to chapter 14. I know it's Mother's Day. I'm trying to wind this up in about 10 more minutes or less. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the disciples are thinking, let our hearts not be troubled. We're terrified. We're shaking in our shoes. We're wondering what is going on here. But Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, believe I am going to take care of you. I've got this. I'm not going to tell you everything's to come. I'm going to lead you minute by minute, day by day, walk you through everything for you to do, and I will give you the provision to get it done. We got to make sure that prayer is not our is our steering wheel, not our spare tire. God's work done God's way will never lack provision. That's the quotes I heard from somebody as I wrote them down. But here we are. Jesus had told them, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And we'll later on, won't get to it this time, where Thomas, I think, is, show us the Father, and it shall be enough for us. And he says, have I not been with you? I've been with you all this time. Have you not known me, Philip? It's Philip, sorry. And that had to be like, whoa. This is God Almighty in our presence. And we haven't known it. What a revelation. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, rooms. Depends what translation you use. Now, in our way of thinking here, I want to touch on this for a minute. We've been thinking, can't wait to get to my mansion, the Beverly Hillbillies mansion, you know, whatever mansion in Beverly Hills you think of, you know, $10 million home with 5-mile yard, tennis court, swimming pools. No, 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 no. We're thinking worldly again. Our dwelling place, our rooms, the main thing is here in his house, the thing that makes it so great, God is there. We're in his presence. Nothing in this world that has hindered us, that holds us back, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be attacks, whether it be sadness, no matter what it may be, we'll all be done away with. If you've had loved ones that have passed on, and I have, my mother passed away in 2005, this is the only time that I will ever be separated from her. The only time. My dad the same way. And I've had others I cared about and loved who passed away, some of which I hope they made it in, others I'm not so sure about, not my place to judge, don't know. But with that, I want to, some of you heard me talk about my mother. In 2005, I was in a state of rebellion. I mean, I had struggled and struggled with the situation up to about the year 2000, and finally one day I said, I quit. And I did. Wish I had, but I did. Because I didn't want to go through what I went through over the coming years. And it was all coming to a head in 2005, where God took everything near and dear away from me. I held near and dear, was gone, broke it down to the ashes, then he rebuilt it. Thank God he did. Because it's better now than it was. Much better. But Mom had started going to church. She'd gotten saved a few years prior, you know, which was answered prayer. And out of desperation, sometimes I'd drive down to where she went to church over in Alabama. She went to church down there. I'd drive down to discover whether just have something to do. But one time I went down there and waited in the parking lot, going to surprise her. Mom didn't show up. So I called her. She said, I'm just not feeling good today. I think I'm just going to stay home. So, okay, so I just, we're going to drive back home. Here I am in a rebellious state. I felt God speak to me. Through his spirit, I had to pull over on the side of the road. Go see your mother. This is the last time you're going to see her. Whoa, no, 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 no. So I went. We had a glorious time. But before I left that night to go home, she put her arm for me and said, son, I wish you'd get back in church. Find you a good Christian girl. If you do, the Lord will help you. Mom didn't know I could do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. But she had learned one thing in those few years, the Lord will help you. And so he did. And I think, I'm on my way. Did a little, I know 6 months later I would. Because God turned me around. He gave me a beautiful wife, a beautiful family, and restored many times more than I had to start with. But Mom went home just a few days later after that. She went to sleep in this world and woke up in heaven. What a way to wake up. Oh, I got to go work tomorrow. Go to bed, wake up. Angels singing, whoa. The throne of God, whoa. Wow. And I know sometimes it does help us to feel good. Oh, I know they're looking down on us and they're, you know, watching over us. I think not. I think not, for the very reason when you get to heaven, you ain't going to be worried about what's going on down here. You're going to have the throne of God. You're going to have brilliant colors. You're going to have the angels. You're going to have all the saints of God. You're just going to be like blown away in a feeling that will never end. Never lose its newness. Never lose its freshness. Never lose. It will be new and fresh a billion years from now. You will never come to the full knowledge of who He is, because every time you look upon the face of Christ, you will see something in Him that you never saw before, and it's like, whoa, God. Because He's inexhaustible. That's where we're going. So we fight these battles we face. Let us fight them with His Spirit. Let us fight them with His love. Let us walk in step with His Word. Let us do all things according to His will. That's not easy, but it's worth it. And with the Spirit of God at our side and in us, we are more than overcomers, and we shall be victorious in every battle we fight. At the end, we shall win. Even you feel like maybe you didn't do so good. I think it's the church of Ephesus, one of the churches in Revelation. They felt like they were not doing so well, but Christ said, no, you're doing good. The ones who thought they were doing good wasn't doing so good. But Jesus looks at things so much differently than we do. He doesn't count your accomplishments, how it was won. You look at John the Baptist, well, he failed in his ministry. No, he didn't. You compare David and Solomon. Well, David, he blowed it, and so he did. But from God's eyes, he was a man of God's own heart. Solomon, man, he had it going on, yet he failed miserably. Let's try to look at the things the way God looks at them. Don't judge. Even Paul said, I don't even judge myself. The Lord's going to judge me, because I feel like I am messing up. Lord, I got so many places to go. Here I am shut up in prison. I can't go out and proclaim the gospel. But in those times, he wrote some very special letters that we have today. To Paul, it felt like a failure. I want to go to Ephesus and talk to him. No, I got to write him a letter that we have. The Holy of Holies, I call it, Ephesians. I got a specific translation I really enjoyed reading Ephesians out of. It's just like, soak it in. Soak it in. Wow. Even Paul can't, you can feel him, he can't get the words to come out so much, he can't put it in language. And neither can we. Stand strong this day. God loves you. God, Jesus died for you. So God died for you in the flesh to pay for your sin debt, that we can walk victorious in Him. We're not sinless, but we are blameless in Christ's sight today. Keep that in mind as you face problems. Tomorrow when work comes or whatever comes your way and it knocks you off your feet, you want to stand up and cuss and you want to just, you know, tell that boss off and you want to do this. Jesus, how would you have me handle this situation? Because I want to handle it differently. You know, hang on, there's times I have handled it differently. Didn't work out so well for me. But I have learned, once I do it His way, it all tends to work out great. There you go. Well, we'll close out here at this point because we've got Mother's Day coming up and we want to honor our mothers today. So be blessed today and thank you for this time. I count it an honor and a privilege to stand before you today. Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory for the words you have given me, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love and your kindness that you have shown. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you. I would be here to this time next year, Lord, if I were to start trying to think of everything to thank you for, Lord. But we just give you thanks. And we worship and honor you, Lord, our King, our Lord, our Master, and our soon-coming King, that we will stand before you and stand with you throughout eternity, God. And thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Mr. Ned. Got a little favor for you at Ask Me Ned. If you can knock on the
the kid's door to get Marcia's attention. I'm going to also ask all the mothers to stand up. Moms and grandmoms, stand up. Here they come. We got a special thing for you. One thing I want to do is give you guys enough. Say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here they come. Coming out of the kids' room, we got flowers for you. Go ahead, hand them out. There you go. Here we go. You're welcome. Oh, right up here. Right. I think we got everybody, right? Okay, I think we're good. Thank y'all. We're gonna, there'll be some extras. So I don't know what you're, guess. If you want to get some points, guys, maybe want to take one back home. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. We have heard God's word. We have praised him in song. We have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long as we leave this place in Jesus' tender care. We will share his love with people everywhere. May God keep us till we gather here, or we meet in the
share his love with people.